Hello and welcome to Niaga Spotlight with me, Tamina Kausji. Niaga Spotlight goes through the week in business and future affairs, Market Watch, industries, analysis and insights. We've got you covered right here on Niaga Spotlight. Now, for this week's analysis, we examine P2P and microfinance. Microenterprises certainly struggle to survive the COVID-19 pandemic, and now in the economic recovery phase, increase in interest from microenterprises that want financing has to also be balanced with finding issuers or borrowers with a good credit rating. Some quick figures first. Malaysian MSMEs play a critical role in the local economy, contributing 37.4% to Malaysia's GDP and employing 47.8% of the workforce as of 2021. Now, these MSMEs are increasingly turning to digital platforms to secure capital, and more investors are also embracing the trend to actually earn higher yields. Joining me now in the studio to discuss P2P and microfinance is Tunku Dani Nasifuddin Muzaffar, founder and CEO of MicroLeap. Welcome to the studio, Tunku Dani. Wonderful to have you with us here in person again.
Hi, good morning. Lovely to be here.
All right, wonderful. So let's get the ball rolling, perhaps, to Gudani, with the fact, looking at the age demographics in particular for P2P and microfinance. So more than 54.4% of P2P investors are below 35. No surprises there. But however, what are MicroLeap's thoughts about increasing entry and reducing barriers to access for older investors, especially? That's another huge market out there.
Yeah. So investors are the lenders on all P2P platforms. And obviously, because all P2P platforms are fully online, you expect that the younger generations are the ones who are used to it, are comfortable with investing online. So what does tend to happen is that the older generation who don't know how to use an iPad or not that great with a smartphone, you don't get that access or penetration for P2P financing. So what we need to do as an industry is to make sure that the older generation are used to investing online. We do that is to give trust into the system, make sure that they don't get involved in any scams that they see online.
Very true, yeah. Especially given how liable Malaysians are with their lower levels of digital and financial literacy.
Yeah. So always, for the older generation, always look at investment companies that are regulated. Mm-hmm. Like for P2P, financing operators are all regulated by Securities Commission.
Sure.
Or anywhere that's BNM, and then they will feel comfortable in investing.
Absolutely. And from there, moving along to poverty alleviation and P2P microfinance. For example, particularly we've also seen this discussed at the highest policymaking levels, the agricultural industry is definitely going to be quite strategic when it comes to this entire year and also the next 2-3 years for local pandemic-related econ recovery. Tunku Dani, what are some P2P trends and opportunities that you have seen for microfinance for agriculture?
Yeah, so the great thing about it is that the government is cognizant of the fact that the agriculture is a key strategic industry for Malaysia, and food security is what the country needs.
Sure.
So under the P2P financing landscape, the government will put in, for every two ringgit raised on the platform, the government will put in 1 ringgit into an investment note.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps to get these agricultural companies get the financing they need. And that goes for microfinance, also macrofinance. So we as an industry do look at agriculture companies, and if they need our help, then we're happy to give it.
Right. And when you were speaking about the fact that it's not just microfinance, but also macrofinance, how does P2P help to bridge and also reach those who are from the macro background?
So what you do, a lot of the P2P financing market is filled up with invoice financing. That's
right.
For the bigger companies. So they have an invoice, they don't get paid for 3 months, but they need the money now. All the P2P financing operators will finance up to 80% of an invoice. So they get money now, 3 months later they get paid back when the company gets paid back. So that's in terms of macrofinance. But also, now that the bigger companies like public listed companies and subsidiaries of public listed companies are allowed to be financed on P2P financing platform, it completely opens up the whole gamut of SMEs that are allowed to get financed by us.
Very interesting indeed. And moving from there, Tunku Dani, into social capital, social collateral, these are two key anchoring fundamentals when it comes to active growth and further potential. But however, what are MicroLeap's thoughts on better risk control to match business growth? We, of course, have plenty of lessons that we've learned globally from the collapse of China's initially very successful P2P industry.
Exactly. So I think how you manage defaults should always start at the credit credit risk operation stage. So what we do is make sure that the issuer or company is viable enough to be given financing for them to pay back the financing at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But what we do, we have found that a lot of the micro enterprises are left out of this system because they don't have a thick credit file, they don't have a credit card, they may not have a bank loan, so many
very
banks...
Very underbanked,
exactly.
Right?
Many banks won't lend to them. So what we use in MicroLeap is psychometric testing, which is an alternative credit score method. So, example, your makcik in Kuala Pilah who needs 10,000 ringgit, mm-hmm. she will go online and do a 20-question psychometric assessment, and this will give us her willingness to repay her financing. So that feeds into our credit risk algorithm and gives us a low, medium, or high risk, and then we would find out what is the profit rate, if it's Sharia compliant, or interest rate, if it's conventional. Mm-hmm. That is in tune with that specific risk.
Tunku Dani, thanks so much for focusing on that specific point of financial inclusion for those who are especially in the rural areas. But however, if you could lightly touch upon how would we get to the point where that makcik in Kuala Pilah, for example, is able to go on and take the psychometrics that are available from MicroLeap, for example.
Yeah. I think financial literacy is very key for the mm-hmm. country, especially for these makciks in Kuala Pilah and all around Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And also they will need to not just learn financial literacy but also online financial literacy.
Sure.
So how to use financial services online and how to manage their funds when they get it. What we do in MicroLeap is we give them a virtual online training modules that they have to pass before they get the financing, so that we know that all our investors on our platform, when they lend or invest into a company, that makcik knows exactly what to do with it, how to manage debt, and also how to do basic bookkeeping, etc.
That's right. And going slightly deeper briefly, what mechanisms are in place or do you feel should be in place to keep the non-performing loan or the NPL ratio at a manageable level so P2P investors' interests are also fairly safeguarded?
Yeah, I think it's very... The debt service ratio is very key. So what is a debt service ratio? It is the amount of debt you have compared to your income. Mm-hmm. So normally... A good range is between 50 to 60% debt service ratio. If it's higher than that, it's too risky. So we have lots of micro enterprises coming in asking for an amount that is too high for the debt service ratio. We'll tell them that, look, it's something you cannot afford. But if you apply for less, then you can afford this. Will this be all right for you? So that minimizes defaults and makes sure that the investors' funds are protected.
There you go. All right. Thanks very much for elucidating that. And let's go into a little bit of a discussion about MyCIF, Malaysia Co-Investment Fund, which generally very recently received an additional 40 million ringgit allocation under Budget 2023. So when it comes to MyCIF, what further opportunities are there to maximize this additional allocation, especially in support of MSMEs, in your perspective?
So the great thing about the MyCIF fund is that for every 4 ringgit raised on an investment note, the government will put in 1 ringgit. So the government is helping the local economy, helping small businesses get the financing they need. And right now, they're trying to help the agriculture sector, as you rightly pointed out. But also, they're looking at generally. So we're looking at all, they're quite sector agnostic. So for them, it's just helping the local small businesses get the financing they require.
Absolutely. So it's quite interesting because when it comes to Securities Commission data, it also shows that P2P financing has burgeoned 122% since 2020. So that must be very encouraging for the sector overall. Can you tell us whether that comes with any caution or perhaps some trepidation on the side of rapid expansion, which also brings a much higher risk to a sector?
Yeah, I think the great thing about the Securities Commission is that they do regulate the industry very well. They first came out and gave out 6 licenses. The second batch, they came out and gave 5 licenses. Mm-hmm. And now they opened up again. They haven't confirmed how many licenses they're going to give out, but they do it in staging and batches so that the economy and the people get used to how it all works. We don't want to be what happened in China, where there were like 2,000 P2P financing operators and a lot of them went bankrupt. And in the end, the Chinese central bank said P2P is actually disallowed. You're not allowed to do any P2P financing at all.
Absolutely.
And Securities Commission has done well in regulating the industry to make sure that it grows at a steady pace. And they also allow a lot of innovation. They like to see companies that are going online and doing different things. So in terms of regulation, the Securities Commission is doing the right thing.
Wonderful. Tunku Dani, thank you very much for sharing those updates with us, especially about P2P and microfinance. With that in mind, it's all time for a quick break now. Stay with us and we'll be right back here in the studios with me, Tamina Kausji, on Niaga Spotlight.